Hello, everyone, and welcome back. New Adjuster Podcast Season 3, season finale, final episode of the season. We've got a very special guest coming up. Over 25 years of experience in the adjusting industry, been training, coaching adjusters for a long time. In fact, right over 12,000 adjusters. We will get to that shortly, right after this. All right, guys, as always, I'm your host, Murphy. I'm in the property training department here in CNC. Again, season finale, very excited, happy that you're joining us, sad that the season is ending, will not be the last that you see, obviously, of CNC on our social media platforms and our video platforms as well. If you've missed any of our previous content up until this point, whether it be seasons and or episodes, go back, give them a watch or a listen, wherever you get your podcasts. Go ahead, subscribe, CNC, Catastrophe and National Claims. Like this video, hit the bell icon. That way you get notified of all future content. Can't wait to jump into today's episode, and we will go ahead and do that right now. All right, everybody, jumping into today's episode. Again, our guest today, I'll let him introduce himself here in just a second, but just a little bit more about him. Adjuster coach, bilingual. Been a licensed adjuster for over 25 years. Really a personal guide for helping people get started the right way. Not just get started, but get started the right way, which we'll touch on here in a minute. So go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hey, everyone. My name is Pablo Gonzalez, and I've actually been in the insurance industry for 25 years. Been licensed for about 12 or 13.
Okay.
Work with Adjuster Pro. Helped licensed over 12,000 individuals.
Gotcha.
And basically just career coaching individuals into this industry.
Right. So no longer with Adjuster Pro, right? You're doing your own thing now.
I'm doing my own thing. It's called
the
Adjuster Coach.
Gotcha.
And I'm really trying to work on helping well-qualified individuals get deployed.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny you say that because coach is a really key word there. Having a mentor is great, but having a coach that can teach you the things, show you the tips and tricks.
Like, right.
Out of college, I was a baseball coach and a teacher in high school. So I get that role of it. You know, hey, you've been there, you've done that, and you can show people kind of, again, the right way.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that, too. People can get started, right? Get started is the, you know, get the license. But getting started the right way is key. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, you know, typically someone will call and say, you know, I heard all I need to do is get a license.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to get work.
Exactly.
And it's definitely your first step.
Sure.
And in some states, it's very simple to acquire a license. You either just take an exam or you go through a course.
Right.
But there's so much more to it.
Yep.
There's so much more. I mean, you have to get software trained. And then you have to start networking with, you know, independent adjusting firms. And those firms, like CNC, are going to provide great training. You're going to have to take that training and just got to keep building and building and building. And hopefully something happens, some sort of major weather event that you get deployed, but you have to become what I call a complete package.
Yep.
So really what you want is an adjusting firm looking at you and saying, Murphy, he doesn't have experience, but he's licensed. He's got a bunch of non-resident licenses. He's got level one, level two Xactimate.
Yep.
Maybe he has State Farm certification or, you know, maybe he's taken a couple of Hague courses and those type of things. He's been here at CNC. We like him.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
and then we're going to deploy him. That's the way it works. But there is this misconception that just getting a license is going to get you work.
Right. And we've talked about that too. And I'm glad you mentioned that on previous episodes. Like the license is the key to get in the door, but you got to have so many other skills. You need to have, I'm not saying you have to have certain certifications and, you know, but they're almost kind of prerequisites. A lot of these IA firms and sometimes even the carriers, you can speak to that too.
Yeah.
They really want you to have level one or level one and level two Xactimate or a Hague certification.
That's right.
Or like you said, one of those big red certifications, that people talk. Because just having a license is only going to get you so far. And to your point too, networking. If you don't know the right people, they're not going to know to call you.
Yeah.
What would you give to somebody that wants to network? How would they go about doing it?
Well, the first thing I would do before I encourage them to network is ask him, well, who are you?
Right.
And coaching in general, like professional coaching, is massive nowadays. Mm-hmm. It's a huge multi-billion dollar industry. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, because the people that I get, it's just really interesting. And I don't know why this is happening. I can't tell you why, but well-qualified individuals, they lack confidence.
Right, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like in baseball. You have a great player, and then, you know, they strike out three times.
Sure,
and their head, you know what
head's
I mean?
Not in it.
Yep. And head's not in it. And somebody will call me, and they'll be like, well, you know, I was a contractor for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had my own Surf Pro company.
Right.
And now I do mold remediation. but I'm not sure I'd be a good fit for this.
Yeah.
It's like, really?
You'd be a great fit for this. Yeah.
Great fit for this. How can you be second guessing yourself? Sure. I kind of like, you know, filter them out a little bit, you know, in the sense of what they've been doing. And then I tell them, okay, so you got to get your license. You got to get software trained. But, you know, where do you live? You know, so start there. Okay, I live in Alabama. Okay, well, there's great companies in Alabama. You can already, you know, apply with them and start getting into their trainings.
Yeah.
You know, find that niche in the sense of where you live and what you've been doing.
Right.
I mean, if you've been doing mold remediation, you're going to be a great property or flood adjuster.
Right.
You know, so that's something to do. If you've been working at a body shop for 20 years, you're going to be a great auto adjuster.
Auto is the track,
But it's interesting because people are just kind of like, I don't know if I'm qualified for this. And you are. You know, this is a great industry. I love this career.
Yeah.
Adjusting is an awesome career.
Yeah.
And I would say adjusting is a trade.
It is.
It really is a trade.
Yeah.
But, you know, that HVAC guy, that plumber, the electrician, the carpenter, the adjuster, those are trades. It's 101 degrees outside. HVAC goes, you know, that guy's going to come in and fix it.
Sure.
Did that guy just get a license?
Yeah.
No.
That's true.
That guy did a lot of, you know, training before he can come and replace my, you know, I don't know, you know, the ozone or this and that and the other.
Sure.
So, it requires, you know, people require coaching, and even well-qualified individuals require coaching in the sense of, you know, it's not about pumping you up. It's about showing you have, you know, my parents are Cuban. I was born here, and they have this thing that they say is give yourself your place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, date tu lugar. Give yourself your place. You've earned it. You spent 30 years as a contractor, dude.
Yeah.
You're going to be a great fit.
Yeah.
But you're going to have to network. And that means applying, calling, emailing, talking to people, following up. There's a big one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Believe it or not, that HR department likes when you call
them.
They
do.
You know,
they really do.
It shows that you have initiative and that you're serious about it, too. And that's another part, is being serious about it, not just saying, I think I'll do adjusting.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to be all in.
Yeah, and you have to be all in.
Yeah.
But it takes time. It is a process.
Yep.
Because it, just like a trade, is not your 9-to-5, doesn't hire the same way.
Right, yeah.
You know, you're not going to submit an application, and then 2 days or 3 days later, we're going to have interview one, and then we'll have a follow-up interview.
Right.
And then, okay, Murphy, you start the week after.
Right,
it doesn't work
just doesn't
that
work
way.
That way,
and, and people, you know, people can't grasp that.
Mm-hmm.
They don't understand it. But it's a very rewarding career.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. Well, and it's like we've talked about, too, and, you know, you and I'm sure we'll get into today. The best way for a new person to get in is in a large event, right? Because people are needed from every corner of the world,
right?
It seems like. You know, for those daily claims, a lot of times IAs and carriers, you know, just by default, they pick the folks they know, right? And that's okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they need to put out the best quality.
That's
maybe
right.
That's not the best time to get a newer green adjuster involved, right?
That's right?
They go with the folks they know and that have experience. But when a big event happens, which it does every year, whether we like it or not, event happens, they bring in all the people. Once you do well, then those daily deployments or opportunities become your opportunities as well, because now they trust you also.
That's right.
So as you bring in those new people, you know, as those carriers and those firms bring in new people, they're giving you the start. You just got to take it serious.
Yep.
You got to have the right coaching, like you've talked about. And you just got to have some knowledge and some confidence.
That's right.
Confidence is the big key. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's going to be a steep learning curve. I mean, the first 30 days, you know, it's organized chaos.
Right.
That's basically
easy.
What it is.
Yeah.
But you have to understand that, I'm going to learn. I'm going to do this. I have these skills, these soft skills that I bring with me from my previous career. And I have all this training. It's going to be okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, did you have a first day at some job somewhere
else? Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
Did you have a first day at a baseball team?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
We all have a first day somewhere.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's going to happen. And what I love about this career is that I see a lot of peer-to-peer mentoring.
Yep.
You know, I know some really good guys out there that I'll call and I say, hey, this guy called me. He's really well qualified.
Mm-hmm.
But he wants to ride along or shadow with somebody. Tell him to come with me.
Yeah.
Tell him to come
Good
with
deal.
Me. If he can get here and he can pay his way, he can spend with me the whole week.
Yep.
And that guy will come back and I'll be like, thank you so much. That I learned so much from holding that guy's ladder
exactly
for a week.
Yeah. Well, and you do. And we've mentioned too, when a firm does well and they have a group or a bunch of great adjusters, they get more work.
That's right.
You know, and that's the key. You know, some of these new adjusters, they want to gatekeep. They want to be like, I want to be the only one that's good.
That's right.
Well, if you're the only good adjuster,
that
firm's never getting called, right?
That's
so it is good to have that peer-to-peer mentoring and coaching.
It really is. Yeah. It really is. And you know, for as far as well-qualified individuals, there's plenty for everybody.
Oh, yeah, there really is. Yeah.
And, you know, when you get that major weather event, when you get a Hurricane Helene, I mean, that's the opportunity for somebody that's new to kind of knock it out of the park.
Yep.
And, you know, because let's face it, you're going to get a bunch of people, and then natural selection is going to take its place.
Yep.
You know,
some folks don't work out. It's just the way it is.
Or some folks are like, wow, I'm in over my head.
Right.
You know.
And some folks have to pick up the slack.
Yeah. And some, and I know, like, new adjusters that they're like, yeah, I stuck it out. And I was about to leave, but I said, let me just stay a couple more days. And then they were like, hey, a bunch of people left. Can we give you their claim?
Right,
like, okay.
Yeah.
And they stayed for another week. And then they were about to leave again, and the same thing happened.
Yep.
And that 3 weeks ended up being 8 weeks.
Yeah.
And they made a ton of money, but they learned.
Right.
I mean, it's like really well-paid training.
Yeah. When the thing about adjusting is, too, it feels like, I mean, really with anything else, the more you do it, the better you get, the more confident you get. So the more opportunities you get by staying a little bit longer and a little bit longer, it's only going to help you in the long run.
That's
because
right.
Because you've seen all the different experiences. You know how to handle this, an upset policyholder, a represented claim, whatever the case may be.
That's right.
Now, we also like to tell adjusters, and I want you to speak to this, too, about flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes new adjusters come in and they're rigid. They only want to do this and they only want to travel 20 miles. Talk to us a little bit about the flexibility, about what you got to be as an adjuster.
I mean, the more flexible you are, the more opportunity you're going to get.
Exactly.
And you know, let's say this process to just like be, you know, doing extremely well at it. Let's say is an 18-month process. Let's just say, you know, a couple of storms, big major storms, and then you're working with dailies. And I mean, 18 months is nothing.
Right.
You know, and you just have to take these opportunities and just build on them and build on them and build on them and continue to learn as you do, you know, as you're doing the job. What I've seen people do, though, is they get deployed for 6-7 weeks and then kind of things slow down and they completely stop doing anything to move forward.
Yeah.
And even training is a good way to move forward. And it's like, well, you know, I'm not getting paid for training. But yeah, but that training is going to open up an opportunity for you in a few months.
Right.
And so I always told new adjusters is keep doing those, keep moving forward. I don't know if you've read a book, it's called Atomic Habits. It's a great book. And it talks about how you every day, even if it's a minuscule improvement, if you do that, eventually it's going to all add up exponentially.
Yeah.
You know, and it's kind of like there's a good analogy there about ice melting at 32 degrees. And it's like you're working hard. You want that ice to melt. And you're at 27 degrees, 28 degrees, 30 degrees. At 31 degrees, you're like, ice is never going to melt. I'm out of here.
Yeah, but you're right there.
You were 1 degree away.
That's right.
And I've seen that happen to a lot of well-qualified adjusters because they're like, well, I don't know, more training. What do I need more training? I need work.
Yeah.
Well, that training is going to get you work. And
exactly.
And at NACA this year, I mean, every single adjusting firm that I talked to, they were like, we really don't want people calling us saying, I'm a new adjuster. What do I need to get work from you?
Mm-hmm.
We want people calling us and saying, I'm a new adjuster. What training do you offer?
Right, yeah.
That's going to get me deployed sooner.
Right, because again, that shows that initiative too.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Would you say that's really the gap that people need to really hone in on between getting licensing and getting the work?
Yep.
Is the, you know, the going out on the limb and saying, hey, what training do you have?
Yep.
Can I get an opportunity here? Can I do a ride along?
So that's right.
Is that what you'd say? Probably
that's
that
right.
biggest gap.
I mean,
gap
and
is?
That all encompasses the networking that I talk about. And it's just like, man, go to those adjusting firms and see what type of things they have. And you know, I mean, like CNC has a great training portal, but there's a lot of stuff in there.
Sure.
You know, and then, you know, not everything might be a good thing for you.
Right.
So take that opportunity and say, hey, I'm applied. I'm on your roster or your reserve roster. And I'm looking at all this training here.
Yeah.
What would you recommend?
Right, exactly.
And then you get this conversation one-on-one with somebody in HR who's going to say, you know what, Murphy, really, I mean, based on your experience, you should do this and
right.
that. Or you should come in, we're going to have a 5-day class or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and that, it does both things. Mm-hmm. And I tell people, when you go to a training at an adjusting firm, like if they come here to your CNC facilities, you're going to be doing two things. You're going to be learning to trade, and you're going to be doing informal interviewing.
Oh, yeah. You know? Absolutely.
Because that's when you're going to be like, hey, that guy's good.
Yeah. He raised his hand. He asked questions. He was engaged.
That's
Craig
right.
always talks about that in
that's
training
right.
classes.
That's
You'd
right.
rather have that person
yeah.
than the person who's sitting there, and they might be taking it all in, but they're mentally, it looks like they're unplugged.
That's right.
They may be taking the greatest notes, but
that's
they don't
right.
interact.
That's right.
You have no way to judge that as a trainer or as a coach.
Yep.
You have no way to know, are they really into what we're doing here?
That's
are
right.
they just here, right? Yeah. Is their body just sitting in a chair?
That's right. Are they just kind of like, oh, I got to go through this, you know?
Right.
Or like, you know, even sometimes with online training where they're like, you know, they're doing it, but they're really on ESPN drinking their coffee.
Sure.
And it's like, okay, hold on. Yeah, let me click the poll.
Yeah. Yeah. Answer the question,
and then,
right?
And then go back to, you know, to see the MLB highlights.
Yeah,
you know
doing,
what I mean?
Yeah, doing whatever else so I have to do.
That's right. That's right.
So what made you really passionate and into the whole coaching and mentoring aspect? Because, again, I know you'd been an adjuster for a while. And
I've been licensed an adjuster.
Okay.
And I've been in the insurance industry for a long time.
Right, right.
But I've been coaching people since Hurricane Sandy to get into the adjusting industry. Because my good friend Adam Gardner, who owns Adjuster Pro, when Hurricane Sandy hit, they were, like, overwhelmed.
Sure.
And he's like, hey, can you come and help me do this?
Yeah.
And I was like, sure, you know, I'll help you out. And I started, you know, mentoring, talking to people interested in becoming adjusters. And, I mean, I really fell in love with adjusting then. Mm-hmm. Because I would get, and I still to this day get a lot of people that are second career individuals who have been working, again, 15, 20, 25 years somewhere. And they want to do something else now. But they're like, I mean, what am I going to do? You know, this 25-year-old was born with a phone in his hand, and his computer skills are like beyond me, and what am I going to do now?
Yeah.
But this seems like a good fit for me because, again, it's kind of like a trade.
Yep.
So it gave me great pleasure to help those people because there's a lot of them that, again, really wanted to get out from what they were doing, but they kind of felt trapped as what the availability they had, even if they had, you know, as far as a degree and things like that. So that helped a lot. In the sense of falling in love with the industry. But the most important thing for me is you get to serve.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was born in Miami. We left South Florida for the Carolinas in 2012. But I've been through many hurricanes.
Mm-hmm.
And then Helene, there was like literally a bullseye in my house during Hurricane Helene.
Yeah.
But I can tell you back all the way to Hurricane Andrew. I mean, the adjusters, really, you serve a claimant when you know what you're doing.
Yes.
Absolutely. That's the best way you can serve them in the sense of, I know what I'm doing. I'm well-trained. I can read a policy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know what's covered, what's not. But more importantly, you can tell them.
Mm-hmm.
You can serve them. And you can realize that, I mean, they're intangibles. Sure, I can put a roof over your head. I can fix the siding. But your great-grandma's picture that got wet and destroyed.
Yeah.
What am I going to do?
Yeah.
I mean, Hurricane Helene, you know, Julian Badillo, who was, you know, in the area, we went, and there was, you know, 75-year-old lady with a kitty cat and lost her other two cats.
Right, yeah.
And she was devastated.
Mm-hmm.
And, yes, we're going to put her house back together.
Sure.
But, you know, you have to be able to serve that person. And,
and
then add, you know, the variable that maybe she has a terrible policy.
Right, yeah.
You know, on top of all that. And really, it was interesting because she was like, oh, yeah, thank you, thank you. But can you help me find my cat?
Right, yeah.
It's like, you're going to put a roof over my hat.
Right.
Can you help me find my cat?
Right, yeah.
You know? So, you know, I tell people all the time, it's not a skill. You know, customer service, communication skills, those are all good soft skills.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have a servant's heart, you're going to do really well in this industry.
Yeah.
And I know it's not a popular thing to say, but God's going to reward you,
mm-hmm.
not necessarily financially, maybe just even in relationships.
Yeah.
But God will reward you. And I've seen that over and over again because, you know, we are attached to our things, even sentimental things.
Mm-hmm.
And you lose those during a major storm. You know, if I can tell you a quick story, my parents escaped Cuba in 1961. My mom and my aunt, the only reason they were able to get their wedding pictures out is because they sewed them to the inside of their skirts. Because the communists, on the way out of the airports, they were like, give me your jewelry. You're not taking that with you.
Right.
Sure, you're coming back, whatever. It's anything. Right. So that's the way they did it. So they took those pictures. They sewed them. My parents moved out of Miami in like 88. Hurricane Andrew's 92. My aunt and my uncle's house had a ton of damage. Those pictures are gone.
Yeah.
Pictures that you stole out of a communist country.
Right.
So you can have some semblance of what your wedding was like in a past life. Gone because the hurricane, the tree fell, the house was wet, you know?
Yeah.
You think that person is like, oh, thank you. We're going to put a roof on my house.
Sure, yeah.
They were devastated.
Right, yeah.
They were devastated. And that's what I call collateral damage, you know? Hurricane Helene, in my situation, I have 9 kids, you know, 7 boys, 2 girls under the age of 18. So we can go through the jokes. Yes, I'm Catholic. Yes, we have a TV.
Yeah.
Yes, we know how it happens. Let's get rid of that.
Yeah.
Okay. But there was like, I mean, no electricity, no water. We were totally unprepared because we were told it was tropical storm. Like,
sure.
I was driving an hour and a half each way to get eggs and milk. Gas stations open up. Me and my 2 teenagers go get gas at noon. Massive line. Okay. One guy cuts in line. Another guy shows him a gun. We're like, you know, we don't need gas that
yeah,
much.
Yeah.
Let's go home. So we would wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning and go get the gas. Yeah. And that's what I call the collateral damage that adjusters have to be aware of.
Right, yeah.
And, you know, during Hurricane Helene, in my neighborhood, I met a lot of adjusters and I talked to them and they were great about, oh yeah, you know, we found this damage to your property. In fact, you missed this and we got this. But are you okay?
Right, yeah.
And the Red Cross is at this Baptist church a mile from here. And, oh, did you get online and get your $750 from FEMA? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So those are the type of the adjusters that really do well in this industry, yeah. You know? And it's not about, you know, I mean, if the policy doesn't cover your contents, you're not going to be able to do anything about
right.
that. But that doesn't mean that you can't serve that person
exactly.
in a difficult moment. And yeah. it could be mild to moderate damage.
Yeah.
And it's still anxiety, stress, yeah. you know, all that type of stuff. I've seen it and I've lived it and I right. know it. Yep.
Well, and you, as that adjuster, that person's fence could have blown over. That's
yeah.
a big deal.
Yeah.
Whether it be that's just right. their fence or that's their right. whole house
yeah,
is
that's
gone.
Right.
So
that's
you got to, right. and I'm glad you mentioned it too, the customer service and really the emotional intelligence
yep.
comes with it. Yeah. And you think, well, that's not really a certification. Yeah. That's not going to get me yeah. on the roster. Yeah, but when you get out there and you can convey that and you can, you know, be with that policyholder, yeah. you know, and understand emotionally, kind of mentally what they're going through, it goes a long way because that in turn becomes a good customer service yeah. review that gets back to the firm and the carrier, and they're like, whoever that is, give him more work because he got compliments.
You're serving that three-legged stool. You're serving the claimant, the adjusting firm, and the
yep.
carrier.
Yep.
And you're taking care of all three of them when you're like, are you okay?
Right.
Is there something I can do for you?
Right, yeah.
You know, you can give them the script. You know, the insurance company will be with you in exactly. 5 to 7 business days, whatever.
Yep.
And this is what you're going to get from them. But is there anything else I can help with you?
Right, yeah.
Are you okay? You know,
yeah.
I see this. I see that, you know.
Goes a long way.
And also know the resources that are available in those situations because, I mean, Hurricane Andrew, it was like the homeowners, the National Guards, and the adjusters,
yeah.
you know. So you need to come in prepared,
yeah.
like knowing, you know, what government agencies and those type of things are also helping people, at least be aware of them so that mm-hmm. you can give that extra customer service and not be all about putting a new roof.
Right.
You know, I'm going to put a new roof, but, you know, looks like you don't have any food, you know.
Right.
So, you know, this is where you can get some.
Yeah. Awesome stuff. All right. Let's take a quick break okay. and then we'll jump into part two of today's interview.
Sounds good. All right.
All right, everybody, fantastic first segment today with Pablo. Let's go ahead and jump into our ad of the day before we jump into part two. Today's episode is brought to you by Blue Leopard Agency. Marketing shouldn't feel like a guessing game. If you're overwhelmed and looking for a way out of the chaos, Blue Leopard Agency has your back. Escape the marketing jungle, reach your ideal customers, and fuel your business growth with a custom strategy. Get started today at BlueLeopardAgency.com. All right, part two, let's go ahead and get started. Pablo, again, thanks for being here with
Absolutely.
Us. Now, part one, we talked a lot about those soft skills, those mm-hmm. prerequisites, the things besides the license. But we don't want to minimize yeah. the importance of the license itself.
That's right.
Now, getting the license, again, for our new adjusters, comes with the initial exam, correct?
That's right.
Talk to us a little bit about that.
So, you know, several different states have different ways of getting your home state license. So, mm-hmm. like Florida, Texas, Arkansas, and Arizona, you simply go through a course.
Mm-hmm.
Adjuster Pro has a course that is going to give you either a designation or a certificate that's right. going to replace the state exam.
Right.
So those states are pretty simple. If you're lucky enough to live in a non-licensing state, that's yeah. a great thing because
yep.
you get a designated home state license.
Right.
And we recommend Florida because
right.
the fastest and quickest. So,
yep.
you know, like Tennessee, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, South and North Dakota, there's about 16 of them.
Yep.
The majority of the states require for you to take a state exam.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily have a pre-licensing course.
Right.
And then states like Mississippi, Indiana, and Georgia, they're two-step states where they require for you to take a course and then go take a state exam.
Sure.
Go take the same test twice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, basically, yeah.
But when it comes to those states, this is what I tell people all the time. You have to dedicate at least 40 hours of study.
Yeah.
You have to make sure that on the practice exams, and again, with the Adjuster Pro courses, I think it's a 20,000 question bank. You can take as many practice exams
yep.
as you want.
Yep.
Make sure you're getting a 90% on those practice
yep.
exams.
Mm-hmm.
And make sure you know the state-specific stuff
right.
well. If
right.
you do those three things,
you'll be successful.
You will yeah. pass. But the license is, it's your ticket to play, man.
Yeah.
You know? And one thing I will say about licensing is adjusting has, the licenses, they have great reciprocity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I live in South Carolina. My South Carolina license, I can use virtually anywhere.
Yep.
Except California, Hawaii, New York, and now Iowa.
Right.
But I can use that license
yep.
anywhere. You know, whereas I used to, many years ago, have a North Carolina real estate license.
Okay.
And we lived, like, right in the border, so everybody was like, you got to get your South Carolina license. I was like, oh, cool. And I looked into it. You have to go take a South Carolina state exam. Mm-hmm. You know, whereas with my South Carolina adjuster license, I went on NIPR, CIRCON. Yep. I'm, like, literally checking up. Like, if it was Amazon.
Right, yeah.
I mean, I was just checking out. Yep. You know, some licenses were $50, some were $160, whatever. Sure. But I just checked out. Some of them require, like, proof of citizenship or something like that. But within 3 to 4 days, you can get a ton of licenses.
Yeah.
So reciprocity is very simple.
Yeah.
It's very important. You live in Alabama, mm-hmm. Hurricane Helene,
yep.
Florida, Georgia, North and South Carolina.
Yep.
If you had to individually test for all those states,
yeah.
I mean, they'd never get adjusters.
Right, exactly. You know? It'd take a long
time.
But if
you just go and get it, well, you should have them already.
Sure, yeah.
You know, but if you can have to go and get them right away because they're like, hey, we're going to deploy you, mm-hmm. you can do it rather quickly because you have that home state license.
Correct.
That's very important.
Correct.
So reciprocity is very important. As a field adjuster, it's life or death as a desk adjuster.
Sure, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I helped my father-in-law get into this 10 years ago. He's a desk adjuster. He lives in Miami. He has them all.
Yeah.
Because if you handle a Utah claim, you need a Utah
license. Yeah, you got to have a license. Yeah.
Or guess what? You ain't getting paid.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know? And one thing I will say about licensing is, and I think you guys have spoken to this before, but, you know, people are like, oh, New York doesn't have reciprocity. No, it has terrible reciprocity. Mm-hmm. But whether you live there or not, you have to take their tests.
Right. I had to do it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But getting a New York license, especially if you're a new adjuster mm-hmm. and you're looking at, you know, what extra things am I going to get to be that complete
Bingo.
Package?
Yep.
I mean, it's the golden ticket.
Yeah, that's a leg up.
Yeah. So I think it was maybe 3 years ago, maybe 4 years ago. I was at a PLRB and some speaker was talking about non-resident licenses. Mm-hmm. And they said that for every 1,000 non-resident licenses, there are only 2 New York non-residents.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know why? Because you live in Alabama.
Yeah.
You can simply pay a fee.
Right.
Why am I going to study,
right.
go take a New York test? Mm-hmm. I can work in, you know, 36 other states.
Right.
You know? Why am I going to do that?
Yeah, why do I need this
one? I don't need to do that. Well, a lot of people have thought like that for a long time.
Sure.
And then people also think, oh, I don't want to work in New York City. Well, New York is a lot bigger than just New York City.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how about winter claims?
Right, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So you get that New York non-resident license, you're guaranteeing yourself work.
Yeah.
And we had people at NACA come by and say, oh, thank you. Your course was amazing. I got my New York license. And one guy said, I got work because I got my New York license. And they didn't even give me New York claims.
Yeah.
Just because I had the license,
right.
they hired me.
Exactly.
You know? And what I would say to a new adjuster today, guess what? Iowa is a new New York.
Yeah.
Because they went from non-licensing to licensing. Mm-hmm. And by the way, if you look at the statute, if you look in reading as to why they did it, is because terrible work by unqualified adjusters.
Right.
And then public adjusters coming in and suing everybody.
Yeah.
So there's an example of how training is very important. Mm-hmm. And I think you're going to see a lot of non-licensing states start doing that. But if I was a new adjuster, I'd tell you, okay, you got your home state license. Great. Before you go and you buy those non-resident quickly, study for New York, study for Iowa.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. Iowa just started licensing 2 months ago.
Right.
How many people have an Iowa license? Not many.
Probably not many in
not
2 months,
many.
Yeah.
Not many. And you can be a new adjuster and you can learn how you're doing. But hey, you have that Iowa license.
Yeah.
They're going to be like, okay, let's see how you do. And
yeah.
you get that opportunity.
Exactly. When there's very few people that can get that opportunity
right.
because they don't have a license.
Yeah. And the New York license, that's gold, man.
Yeah.
That's good. How long have you had it?
Oh, gosh. Since 2019, I think. 2018,
yeah,
2019,
awesome.
Something like that. Yeah.
I can't tell you how many people have told me that license has opened so many doors.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, when I got it, it was one of those deals where we had a carrier come on. I won't mention them by name, but they had a few New York policies.
Yeah.
But we had to have somebody.
Yeah.
You know? So 2 or 3 of us in the office studied for the test, got the license. Therefore, we were able to get New York claims. Now we get a lot more New York claims, and we've got desk adjusters that we've hired that have New York licenses.
That's awesome.
Right? So without us first couple getting the license and getting that opportunity in the door, all those other adjusters wouldn't be getting the work now.
That's
so
exactly right.
That's kind of what it took was, you know, somebody kind of walking out to the end of the plank and, you know, taking the test. So.
Yeah.
Hey, besides New York, because we all know how important New York is, besides New York, what would you say are the top 3 licenses a new adjuster should have? Let's say they live in a South Carolina, something like that.
Well, I would say this. If you can afford it, I would go from Texas east to Florida, mm-hmm. north to North Carolina.
Yep.
I would do that L.
Yep. All those coastal states.
So, you know, Texas,
Louisiana, Indiana,
Mississippi,
Alabama,
Alabama,
Georgia, Florida, and the Carolinas. Yeah,
I would do that L. Yeah. And if you can afford it, I would do, you know, like Oklahoma and Arkansas for tornadoes.
Correct.
Those
yeah.
type of things. I mean, if you could. And look, the Gulf is not the only place where stuff happens.
Right.
In fact, I think, you know, a good strategy is, wow, everybody's going to the Gulf because a major storm hit. Maybe there's nobody at the Pacific Northwest,
right, yep.
and I can go over there and do something different
right, yeah.
because everybody came down right. to the Gulf. So right. that's definitely valid.
Yeah.
But you got to admit it, a lot of stuff happens in the Gulf.
Sure. Sure.
I mean, Texas is massive. They yeah. get hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, fires, and earthquakes mm-hmm. in the northeast, northwest yep. corner. I mean, so a lot happens in these states year-round.
Yeah.
So it just makes sense. Yeah. I had a new adjuster tell me I did just what you said, and it was $700.
Yeah.
When it was all said and done, right. all that L.
Right.
And what happens is, and I'm sure this happens at CNC, but I imagine major storm hits, you go in your database, who has a home state license
Bingo.
And has that L.
Bingo. Yep.
Whereas there's other, you know, new adjusters that tell me, well, I'm going to wait
yeah.
until the adjusting firm tells me
right, yeah.
to get those.
At that point, a lot but of times you know, it's too late.
That's what I'm, yeah, do you want them late. To find you in the first search
right, yeah.
or the last search?
Right, yeah. Yeah.
And it's $700.
Exactly.
You know?
Well, and to your point, and I hate to talk dollars, but $700, yeah, yeah. you work two or three claims, you've made it back.
You've made it back.
That's all it takes, yeah. you know? Yeah. And I know, and a lot of new adjusters, they get scared by the initial expense. Yeah. The initial expense, I can understand, if you're a field adjuster, the yeah. equipment alone,
yeah.
and then the licenses. But you will make it back yeah. tenfold.
Tenfold.
If you put in the initiative and the work
gonna,
up front to get
and you're
going to
have a great career. And like I, you know, I told somebody one time, was like, well, I mean, when you add it all up, you know, if I did this and if I went to this other training, you know, and if I got all these licenses, mm-hmm. man, it was all like $6,500. And then now you're telling me that I should have like a $5,000 bank in case I get deployed.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, let's say it's $10,000, which is not a small number. It's not right. a pocket change. Okay.
Right.
How much career $10,000 worth of college gets you?
Yeah.
Are you going to be making six figures with $10,000 worth of college?
Mm.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying you're going to make six figures right off the bat, but sure. you're eventually going to get there because sure. you invested that.
Right, yeah.
Right? My son's about to go to college. $10,000, that's not even one semester.
Right, yeah. Yeah, that's true.
And I can't tell you the classes he's taking.
Right, yeah. That's true.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, like I said, that's good. Like I said, I wanted to touch on the exam because although we said the license is just the key, it's yeah. not everything else. We obviously don't want to minimize it. So
yeah.
when you have a approach to coaching and mentorship mm-hmm. and things like that, would you say it's more hands-on, like to do it in person, or do you do it in some type of webinar or Zoom call, video yeah. call, that kind of
so,
thing? What's best
so,
for you?
So, you know, hats off to Blue Leopard. They've helped me set up my website and my podcast. And, you know, basically what I do is I screened them,
yeah.
you know, because I'm not just going to tell anybody, yeah, sure, you know, I'll give you a consultation.
Right,
you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, they come in through my website and that's what I do. I just want to make sure that they have the foundation.
Right.
That's what I want to do at first, to make sure that they're going to be good adjusters.
Because, right, yeah.
you know, I give a webinar every other Wednesday. And I've had people at the end of the webinar email me and say, man, that was awesome. You know, the real life stories, that's great. That's not for me.
Right, yeah.
I did my job.
Yeah.
I did my job.
Yeah.
You know, it's not for you, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what I want to tell people. I want to tell them the truth. And it's, you know, I don't know. I think it's hard for people to tell people no nowadays.
Yeah.
And it's okay, you yeah. know? Again, that example of that gentleman that had been 20 years in contracting, that's great. You're unemployed, you got a couple kids, you're looking for a nights and weekend type of job,
yeah.
this is not going to be a good right. fit for you.
Yeah.
But that's kind of what I do at first, just kind of see where they're at
right.
before I start coaching them. Yep.
Yeah. Well, and we've talked about this too, and I want you to speak on it. For those new adjusters, you've even said it today, just because you get a license, just because yep. you have prerequisites, they're not calling you in two or three days mm-hmm. to offer you the job. Talk to us a little bit how adjusters, and I say this all the time, they got to be patient.
Yes.
They have to be patient.
Yeah.
Do not get discouraged by lining all this stuff yeah. up and getting ready to go. You feel like you're 100% trained up and yeah. you're ready, and that deployment doesn't happen for 6 or 8 months.
That's
Talk
right.
to us about the patience aspect, how important that yeah. is for an adjuster.
It goes back to waiting for that ice to melt at 32 yeah. degrees, and people give up too soon.
Yeah.
And so what are you doing in that time? What are you doing in those 6 months?
Right.
What are you? So those habits, do something, move forward. You know, there's the NAIIA website, the National Association of Independent Insurance Adjusters. You could do a search by your state.
Mm-hmm.
Look at all the independent adjusting firms.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, my name is Pablo. My name is Murphy. I got my license. I'm level one, level two. Can I ride along with one
yeah.
of your guys? Can
yeah.
I shadow? And you know what? Some people are going to tell you no. Oh,
yeah.
okay.
Yeah.
Next.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then,
sure.
or even, can I just come in and ask you questions about the industry. I want to see if this is a good fit for me. Those relationships.
Right, yeah.
And you're moving forward. And I've seen it where guys have been like, hey, that was a great tip. And I rode along with this adjuster for 3 days. And that adjuster went back and told his adjusting team manager, hey, that guy was good.
Yeah.
He asked a lot of good questions. He paid attention to detail.
Yeah.
We should give him some claims.
Yeah, you might want to give him a shot. Yeah.
You might want to give him a shot. And yeah. It's like, and I never, you know, I mean, I've even seen it with daily claims where you think they're not going to give it to a new guy, but the guy was just like networking like crazy.
Right.
And they liked him.
Yeah.
Because he invested. He was always doing something to move forward. Yeah. Even if it's just learning. I mean, even if you're doing your CEs.
Continuing education.
For 6 months until you get deployed. And then when you get deployed, that's going to be the best school right there.
Yeah. Would you say that's probably the biggest factor of the people that kind of stall out and kind of fall by the wayside as opposed to the people that kind of keep progressing and eventually get the opportunities and become the, hey, we trust these folks, we're going to use them more?
Yeah. I mean, I think there's that 80-20 rule where 80% are saying they're going to do what only 20% is willing to do.
Sure.
You know? You know,
can that be our quote for the episode? That's good.
You know, that's good. I mean, I see it, and I'll be honest, I think in 2025 is more like 90-10, but let's go with the 80-20.
Yeah.
You know, and those folks, they really want to do it, but they're just going to, I mean, I've had people call me and say, you know, I want to get a license, but I saw on a Facebook post in 2018, some guy who got a license and never got deployed.
Yeah.
It's like you're basing your next career on that one post from 7 years ago. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, just ignore that. And, you know, if I can give you another good Cuban saying is the imagination is a crazy person in the house.
Okay.
Which means like you're going to go down all these virtual rabbit holes, these attachment to outcomes. Oh, this is not going to happen. Ignore that crap.
Right, yeah.
But I think it's important, you know, one of the things that I'm trying to do now, not only is coach well-qualified individuals into the industry, but I'm also trying to make sure that I'm pointing them in the right direction with companies like CNC.
Right.
Because I'm not going to badmouth anybody, but there are companies out there that don't treat new adjusters well.
Sure.
They don't. You know, and I've heard of guys from like, yeah, you know, I was able to get deployed, finished in October, I didn't get paid till May.
Yeah.
That's wrong, man.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I was a new adjuster and they gave me a fee schedule and then 6 weeks in, they changed it.
Yeah.
That's wrong.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And again, I'm not going to call out any names or anything like that, but, you know, the great thing is about companies like CNC and the other major ones that I know that have done well by their adjusters is that I can say, man, you're really well qualified. You should go to CNC.
Right, yeah.
You know, and that's the other thing that I'm trying to do is just to make sure that I'm sending people to the right places.
Right.
And there's a lot of great adjusting firms. And you guys have a really good thing going on here. Yeah. You constantly hear it on your podcast. I mean, you bring in, you know, you had those three guys who were field adjusters.
Right, yeah.
And those guys love working here.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing about it, too, is there's always going to be a need for adjusters.
Yeah.
Always. You know, I mean, you get told as a kid, you know, go into a field where there's something they're always going to need.
Yep.
You know,
that's right.
You're always going to need adjusters. Yeah. Insurance claims aren't going away. And as much as people want to say, and you've heard it too, you go to these conferences, AI is taking over.
If I
have to hear it one more time, I'm going to get sick. Because the drones and the AI doesn't have what we talked about earlier, that emotional intelligence, that you know, sympathy, empathy. Yeah.
That's right.
Sure, they can write a claim for you. They can take pictures and then, you know, do a three-dimensional photograph. All that's great. But they don't have the adjuster customer service. And that cannot be replaced by any type of AI.
Absolutely.
In my opinion.
And that emotional intelligence, that's called EQ, an emotional quotient. And there's people that have very high IQs and have zero EQ. Okay. But the other thing about AI is, and I saw, I think it was either Chris Stanley or maybe Matt from Adjuster TV, but they put a picture and it was a kitchen fire, right? And, you know, they sent it to a desk adjuster and then they're like, this is AI generated.
Yeah.
So we need the adjuster to go to the house.
Yeah.
You know, that's what we need.
Yeah.
Because there's this flip side. It's called fraud.
Right. Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's that big
AI, it only for good things. You know?
That's almost a cuss word in the adjusting
that's
industry.
That's right. That's right. Did I say that?
I'm sorry. No,
you're
good.
It's the F word.
not the F word.
Not the, but the second one.
That's right. So what would you say the biggest mistake that new adjusters make? We may have talked about some of them already, but a new adjuster getting into it, they get the opportunity. Let's go ahead and fast forward. They get the opportunity. What's the first mistakes or the big mistakes that you think adjusters might make that you try to coach them out of?
The opportunity as far as they get deployed?
Right, they get deployed. Okay. They get in the work.
Well, they didn't really put in the time to really understand what they were getting into,
right.
Number one. There's financial consequences. You know, you're going to be gone for a month. That's a month of hotels.
Sure.
You know, food, you know.
Yeah.
There's going to be, you know, relationship issues. You know, you're going to leave your family back.
Yeah.
food also is a big one in the sense that you eat crappy food for a month, you're going to feel like crap.
Yeah.
You know, so those are the things that they kind of don't pay attention to. But sometimes, you know, people don't listen. And I will tell you that after a license, I think policy comprehension and anything having to do with construction,
what
you should, you know, those 6 months that you're talking about,
like
I'm just hanging out, I'm not getting deployed.
Right.
Maybe I'm doing part-time jobs or I'm doing my regular job just waiting to get deployed.
Right, yeah.
You had 6 months and you didn't take the time to take a good policy class
or
learn more about construction. Mm-hmm. You know, in construction, you know, I mean, you could literally go to a Home Depot on a Saturday and they'll have a little, you know, how to remodel your bathroom.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because obviously they want you to be like, oh, I can do this. Let me go buy the supplies.
Yeah, let me go buy the stuff.
But then you get there and you find out about grout, you know, you find about backsplash, all this stuff. You know, I mean, that could be that simple. Or your local community college, a basic intro to construction class. Mm-hmm. So what I've seen is, yes, you're anxious about those 6 months. When am I going to get deployed? And then, boom, you get that opportunity, and it's like, oh, man, I should have.
Yeah.
Boom, I should have.
Yeah, I didn't prepare this. Yeah, yeah.
You know, and you had those 6 months. So lack of preparation, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, and the comprehension of it, too.
Yeah.
You know, I can read a book, but, you know, if I don't comprehend it, I don't understand what's going on. It's just words going in my mind and going out the other ear, you know. Sitting in those training classes, Craig says it all the time, you could be there in body, but you got to be there in mind, too. You got to be able to comprehend it, take it in, and let it stick.
Yeah.
You know, because some people, they hear it, and then, you know, a week it's gone.
And, you know, men, we're so good at admitting that we don't know.
Oh.
You know, like, can you just raise your hand and be like,
wait,
can you go buy that again?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
What do you mean coverage A? Because, you know, we're embarrassed. You know what I mean? But no, don't be embarrassed.
Yeah.
You know, ask the question.
Yeah.
That way you learn. And personally, I suggest taking notes.
Yep.
That's, for me, the easiest way to remember stuff.
Yep.
And you know what? Maybe tomorrow you might have to ask it again.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah, that's okay.
It's okay.
Everybody was there at some point.
Everybody was there.
Every experienced adjuster was in your shoes at one point.
That's right.
We always say everybody had a first day.
That's right.
In adjusting, everybody had a first day.
Everybody had a first day.
Everybody had a first deployment.
And what I love about this industry that there isn't a lot of people. I mean, I really haven't even heard of one person say, oh, yeah, I was a group with a bunch of well-seasoned adjusters and they were just looking down on me.
No.
On the contrary.
Never.
They lifted me up.
Yeah. I've never heard that.
Never heard that. That's what I love about this industry. They're totally trying to help people.
Yeah.
You know, okay, this is your first, listen, come over here. This is the way you got to do it, bro.
Right.
You know, and they help, they will help you.
Yeah. My first couple deployments in auto were the same way.
Yeah.
A group of veterans there. I'm the brand new guy. They're like, hey, follow me all day.
Yeah.
Watch how I estimate this vehicle.
Yeah.
Hey, watch how I write this supplement.
Listen
to me.
Yeah.
Listen to me call this body shop and negotiate an estimate with them.
Yeah.
That's a lot of it too.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you mentioned that because I say it all the time and I'm glad somebody else said it is. I've never heard of a experienced adjuster not giving a new adjuster the time of day or the knowledge.
Never.
Because, again, if you pass it along, it makes you feel good.
Yeah.
And you know that if they're on your team doing well, then everybody's getting more claims. Everybody eats more. Yeah. That's just the way it is. So.
Yeah, and guess what that is? More service.
Yeah, yeah.
That's more service. How could you have a servant's heart and want to help a claimant and then –
But you don't want to help your neighbor.
You want to help the newbie.
Right,
that's right there in the team, and he's, like, overloaded because he's trying to close for a day.
Right,
maybe,
sure.
You know, and he's, like, four behind, and, you know, policy doesn't understand. You're going to let that guy just drown?
Yeah.
But you're going to take care of the claimant?
Yeah.
And I haven't seen that. I've seen just a lot of peer-to-peer mentoring and helping, and that's what I love about this industry.
Yeah. All good stuff.
Yep.
Well, before we wrap up, if you had to give a top three new adjusters from your coaching background and expertise, maybe a top three things. Hey, make sure you do those three.
Yep.
You'll be on the right track to success. I'm not going to say you're going to go A to Z
with just
the three things, but you are well on your way. What would be your three?
Yeah, I mean, we kind of touched on some of this stuff, but I would immediately say get your license, which is going to be a very simple process.
Right.
I mean, 40 hours. What's 40 hours?
Yep.
You know, when you have 9 kids, 40 hours is like this. Okay, there you go.
Okay, yeah.
40 hours. Get some sort of software training. So maybe you're auto guy, so CCC or Mitchell or whatever, or Xactimate or Simbility, or CoreLogic, whatever. Yep. Get the
whatever it's called now.
But that's right.
Because they've changed names a few times.
I know. But then, you know, the third and most important thing is accept with humility and be coachable.
Yeah.
You know, be coachable, and which includes active listening, which people don't do.
Yeah.
So accept with humility, and the guys are the ones that struggle with this. The women, they're just like, okay, that's great. I understand. I'll do it this way from now, or I'll never do that again.
Right.
Guys, I, you know, just accept.
Yeah.
You were a contractor for 20 years. That's awesome. How many days you been an adjuster?
Yeah.
One.
Okay. Exactly.
So
yeah.
There you go.
It's a difference.
Be coachable. Yeah. And again, in the peer-to-peer mentoring, I've never seen anybody sigh, roll their eyes or anything like that. No, they're going to coach you. But understand that you're not going to know it all.
Yeah.
But you're going to show up as a complete package with those skills. Licensing, software training, you've done training with the IA firms, you kind of know the guys already. And then from there on, guess what's going to happen? It's going to be day two, it's going to be day three, it's going to be day 40, day 75.
Yep.
And, it's funny because we always talk about, I'm sure you know this, how California for residents requires 4,000 hours of adjusting experience. And we're like, that's like one hurricane.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's true.
Before you know it, you're going to learn so much.
Yeah.
You're going to learn so much, but you have to be coachable and you have to listen.
Yep.
And if you can accept that with humility, you'll learn right away and you'll do really well in this industry.
Yeah, because you as a coach and mentor, me as a trainer, it's our job to help you.
Yeah.
Let us help you. Yeah. That's what we're here for.
So I'll give you an example. They got their license, got software trained, so I send them, maybe 60 adjusting firms.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you need to apply and you need to call over there. And as soon as you get on the roster, you need to call and ask about training, whatever. And then 2 months down the line, oh man, I haven't found any work. Oh man, that's terrible. Yeah. So those 60 firms, how many did you apply to? Two.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
And what happened? Well, they send me an email about as soon as there's work, they'll reach out to me. Okay, great. And then what happened after that?
Right,
I guess there was never work because they never talked to me. It's like,
Well, there's always work.
There's always work. Yeah. That's exactly right, man.
And you just got to chase it now.
You just got to chase it. And then once you get it, you'll do great.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah.
Yeah.
I tell people, like, getting your first claims, that's your job at first.
Right, yeah.
But once you get those first claims and you do well, you'll have work.
Yeah, the doors will open.
Yeah, the doors
will open. Ones that you didn't even know were
there. That's right. That's right. That's right.
Awesome. Well, Pablo, again, we appreciate you being here.
Thank
you for being here in our studio, too. That's
great.
So, again, thanks for being here. Our season finale guest. Hopefully, we'll have you back again sometime.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Let's see what the future holds, man.
That's right. Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks, man.
All right, everyone, we just wrapped up another fantastic season finale to season 3. Big thanks to Pablo for being here. Awesome adjuster coach, really has a lot of good stuff. Obviously, we're going to reference him and push him, as we think he's a fantastic resource, especially for new adjusters. Again, if you missed any of our previous episodes or seasons, go back, give them a watch or a listen wherever you get your podcast. Although this is the finale, it is obviously not the last you will see of CNC and myself. As we are really in peak hurricane season now, take everything you've learned from this season and these episodes to train, get ready. The opportunities are coming. We obviously look forward to watching you grow and hopefully getting you some opportunities with CNC or any other firm in the insurance adjusting industry. Make sure you follow us on our social media platforms, CNC, Catastrophe and National Claims. Like this video, hit the bell icon again so you get notified of all of our upcoming content as we move forward through hurricane season and even into next off season, so on and so forth. Last thing I want to do before we let go today, I want to say a huge thank you to Blue Leopard Agency, Jeremiah especially, Seneth, her entire team for helping us make this podcast possible and bringing all this great content to you. So as always, we will see you next time.